welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. Can Raila Odinga thaw the frosty relations between Kiir and Machar?
The first and the most important thing is denunciation of hostility. We need to know what plans do others have in mind.
And peacekeepers are attacked in the former unity state.
A convoy consisting of peacekeepers and civilians came under fire when it stopped briefly to interact with a civilian in Rubkwe, about 20 kilometers north of Leir town.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Officials with the South Sudanese government and rebels loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar say they welcome an initiative by Kenya's former Prime Minister to mediate talks between President Salva Kiir and Machar. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Raila Odinga secretly visited Juba to meet President Salva Kiir 2 weeks ago, just days after the warring parties failed to reach a deal in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, to end the 4.5-year conflict. Information Minister Michael Makwe says during that visit, Odinga said he wanted President Kiir and his former deputy to reconcile the same way he and Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta have reconciled. The East African newspaper reports that Odinga is expected to travel to South Africa this week to meet with Machar. While he welcomes Odinga's peace initiative, Makwe says he expects the Kenyan opposition leader to first understand the positions of the warring parties on the more contentious issues and then try make Machar realize he must compromise on certain positions.
The first and the most important thing is denunciation of hostility. We need to know what plans do others have in mind. Of course, within these proposals or position papers which have been presented, some of them are almost impossible to implement, and they don't in any way amount to reaching peace soon. So he should actually work to soften the position of the opposition as a whole, and especially the IO and Riek Machar in particular.
Makwe outlined what Machar positions he considers unacceptable.
The disbandment of all the security organs and handing over the security of South Sudan to the UNMISS and the RPF, of course these are conditions which are unacceptable to any person. Yes, other demands are like the dissolution of the parliament. But when you say the parliament should be dissolved and then the seats would be allocated to us again so that we appoint new members to the parliament in accordance with the parties and the power sharing formula, definitely you are creating another problem.
General Oyet Nathaniel is the SPLMI Osado governor for Imatong State and headed the Committee on Governance at the High Level Revitalization Forum. Nathaniel outlined what issues he hopes Odinga can resolve between the warring parties.
The issues that we have been dealing with are governance issues, security issues, reforms issues, how to arrest the humanitarian situation. All these are the issues at hand.
Makwe says Juba expects Odinga's initiative to complement the IGAD-led talks which ended with no agreement last month in Ethiopia. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
The UN mission in South Sudan is condemning an attack in which peacekeepers were directly targeted, according to UN officials. It happened yesterday while the peacekeepers were on routine patrol in their former unity state near Leir town. UNMISS called on South Sudan's warring parties to respect the freedom of movement of UN personnel and to cooperate with peacekeepers as they work to protect civilians and monitor human rights. Dimo Civil Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
Jess Wamali, a multimedia coordinator with ANMIS, says the convoy was attacked yesterday morning.
A convoy consisting of peacekeepers and civilians came under fire when it stopped briefly to interact with a civilian in Rubkwe, about 20 kilometers north of Lair town. The team was on a short patrol from the mission's Lair temporary operations base to Daker in Mayandit County.
Mali says no one was injured in the attack, but it could have gone another way.
ANMIS strongly condemns this attack against its personnel and calls on all parties to respect the freedom of movement of UN personnel carrying out their mandate and to cooperate with the peacekeepers as they work to protect civilians, monitor human rights, create a conducive environment for delivery of humanitarian aid, and support efforts to restore peace in the country.
Mali says Lair has been a hot spot in recent weeks due to ongoing fighting between government and rebel forces. He says aid agencies working in the area continue to report people fleeing for their lives because of attacks on civilians.
ANMIS has boosted its peacekeeping contingent into the area, flying in additional soldiers and airlifting in armored personnel carriers to assist with patrolling in affected villages in order to better protect civilians.
An ANMIS statement did not identify who was responsible for carrying out the attack on the UN peacekeepers. Lair is under the control of government forces, while the Mayandit and Rubkwe areas of former Unity State are under the control of rebels loyal to Riek Machar. Both government forces and rebels deny attacking UN peacekeepers. Brigadier General Lu Ruai Kong is the government's military spokesman.
So the attacks were carried out on their convoy in an area which is not under our control. Like I said, that area, Rupa, is under the control of forces loyal to Remaja. We are not responsible. We are not responsible because we were not present in the area.
Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel, the SPLA-IO's deputy military spokesman, acknowledges that his group controls Rupa but denies the rebels had anything to do with the attack.
We know that place is under our control, but it's not purely 100% under our control. The government always comes, they attack. Even we know the government is already on their way coming towards Lair, because the MSA from Lair, they're coming towards Mayandit because they want to make sure they capture Mayandit and proceed to Panyajar.
Mali says ANMIS continues to engage with local authorities and to urge the warring parties to stop fighting and adhere to the cessation of hostilities agreement signed in December. Human rights groups have said both warring parties violated the agreement within hours of signing it. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Exiled South Sudanese civil society leaders in Uganda say South Sudan embassy staff in Kampala blocked civil society leaders from informing South Sudanese there about updates on the peace talks in Addis Ababa. Tito Anthony, executive director of the Center for Peace and Justice, says he was prevented from talking to the South Sudanese by South Sudan's ambassador in Uganda.
Last Friday, which is the 1st June 2018, we are supposed to do a public debriefing on the progress met at the peace talk through the South Sudan Council Churches and through the IGAD effort. The venue was Cavendish University, and it's like the South Sudan Embassy has written to Cavendish University, told them that the event should not take place because it's a political event and we had no approval from the South Sudan Embassy. The event was cancelled because we don't have an approval from the embassy.
When South Sudanese have occasions in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, do they normally get permission from the South Sudan Embassy? Because my understanding is if you are doing a gathering in Uganda, you only have to inform the LC or the police. You don't have to inform your embassy. Why is the embassy interfering
in
your affairs?
Actually, as a civil society, we don't have even to inform the South Sudan embassy of whatever things that we are doing, whether it's debriefing, whether it's a public dialogue, whether it's whatever sort of activity. It's even not in the operation procedure that we should inform the embassy. As a legal registered entity, our objective is known to the government of Uganda, who has given us an operation permit on what we are doing. So if there were a person to stop that event, it should be the Uganda government questioning our legality. But then since we are registered, there were no questions raised about that. We have done a lot of public dialogue, public discussion about other issues that concerns peace process in South Sudan, but we never go to embassy for approval.
And why is it important to debrief the South Sudanese who are in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, about the revitalization forum?
Well, it's an obligation to us as a civil society to disseminate information of what has happened on the peace process. People in diaspora, especially people in Kampala, are concerned and they want to know more about what is taking place or what is going to happen. Therefore, we took that initiative to tell them what has happened in Addis Ababa through the delegates, the official delegates who get accreditation to the peace process from IGAD to come and brief the public South Sudanese. And therefore, it's very important to know how far our leaders has gone to achieve peace process, because majority of people who are here in Uganda, they are refugees. And they would want to return to the country. And we felt like it is important to let them know that, yes, there is something going on, there is a process. Sooner than later, you will go back to the country.
Did you make any efforts to speak to authorities at the South Sudan Embassy in Kampala to inquire as to why they communicated with the university to prevent you from debriefing the South Sudanese who are in Kampala?
Well, actually, I spoke to the ambassador of South Sudan to Uganda, His Excellency Duku, on Friday. The first thing he asked me is that, which civil society are you? Are you pro-government or are you against the government? Because if you are pro-government, you could come to the embassy and seek permission. Therefore, I advise you to come to the embassy so that we have a discussion on that issue. That's what the ambassador told me. And today, actually, we are supposed to meet at 11:30 in the embassy, but I couldn't make it due to another commitment that I had.
Yeah. Are there any civil society groups in South Sudan who are affiliated to certain political parties or institutions?
The civil society in South Sudan, they are not affiliated to any parties. And there's nothing like civil society for government, civil society for IO or IG or whatever it is. Civil society are always neutral, and their role is to do civic engagement.
Tito Anthony heads the Center for Peace and Justice, a South Sudanese civil society group in Kampala. He was speaking with my colleague John Tanza from Kampala earlier today. Tanza called Simon Duku, South Sudan's ambassador to Uganda, for comment several times, but Duku did not pick up the calls. Congolese refugees in South Sudan's Yei River State say they are living in fear after gunmen killed a refugee. An official at the Commission for Refugee Affairs called on South Sudanese authorities to observe international refugee protection principles. Police arrested a suspect in connection with the violent incident over the weekend. Daniel Friday Martin has the details for VOA from Yei.
Charles Obade, a leader of the Congolese refugee community in Yei, says many refugees fear they are being targeted by armed men. Obade says two Congolese refugees have been killed this year in Yei town. Speaking in Arabic, he is urging state and county authorities to protect Congolese refugees living in Yei town.
I am crying to the government of Yei River State and Yei River County to protect us. Many of us have been traumatized because some of us have been killed by gunmen. We don't have any place to go to, but let the government take care of us.
Obade says since the conflict spread to Yei River State in 2016, a known number of refugees trapped at the Lasso refugee camp have been killed, while hundreds of others fled to the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Speaking in Arabic, a Congolese refugee woman who prefers to be identified only as Farida for security reasons is pleading with state officials to investigate the recent killing and bring the perpetrators to justice.
An armed man killed a civilian in his own house. What is the government doing to protect us? We are heartbroken. This man is innocent, and we demand for justice through the courts. We are also human beings, and we have been in South Sudan for quite long now, and we need protection like South Sudanese, not Congolese anymore.
Speaking in Arabic, Joseph Mabe, another Congolese refugee, is also calling on the government to provide refugees with emergency contact numbers.
We are not happy, and we are calling for security and and protection. We want the government to provide us with mobile phone contacts so that in case of anything, we can contact the police protection unit for rescue.
Yahusa Dawood, Deputy Director for Field Operations at the Commission for Refugee Affairs in Ye River State, condemns the recent killing of a Congolese refugee.
South Sudan, they signed the protocol of refugee. So they're also part of the world that can also protect refugees. You know, we have refugees in South Sudan. So I call upon the government of South Sudan, you know, though we have a lot of crisis also in our country, but we also, if someone runs to your house, you know, for safety, you know, you have to protect them regardless of where they came from. And instead of, you know, causing more harm to them.
Dawood says the conflict and insecurity in Ye River State is also affecting efforts by humanitarian agencies to provide services to displaced refugees at the South Sudan-Congo border area. Justin Lokongo Kenyi, the Ye River County Commissioner, says a suspect has been arrested.
The law will take its course. It's going to be prosecuted under murder case in accordance with the laws of South Sudan.
Lokongo says the state government has deployed a number of police officers to the area to protect the civil population. More than 10,000 Congolese and Sudanese refugees were stationed in Lasso satellite town, located 48 kilometers from the South Sudan-Congo border, before the 2016 conflict could spread to the area. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Ye Town.
Tune to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Are there new cases of Ebola? Find out when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is it important for you to follow the news in other countries?
Of course, yes. It is important. That's how I get informed, actually. Because that's how I get informed and knowing what is going on around the world.
It's better to know what's going on in the world, what's going on in other countries, so that we'll be updated at times. Yes, it helps me to know what other countries are facing and how to help my country to develop the country, because there are some instances that happen in other countries that I can adapt here.
It's when you get to know how their current affairs is doing and how you can go about it different.
Very important, because I love the broad view of the whole international thing. If the elections are going on in the US, I'm so updated and detailed.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday Health segment, and today we are talking about the Ebola outbreak. The World Health Organization reports no new cases of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of Congo have been confirmed since May 17th. WHO finds that of the 56 reported cases, 37 are confirmed, 13 are probable, and 6 are suspected. The death toll stands at 25. Lisa Schlein has more on the story for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Health Organization says not too much should be read into the fact that the number of confirmed Ebola cases has remained stable since mid-May. It says these numbers should be viewed with some caution. WHO spokesman Tarek Jazarevich says it is critical that all people who have had contact with an infected person are identified. He says even one person with Ebola could create a number of new cases by coming in contact with people at social events or religious ceremonies such as funerals. Jazarevich tells VOA it is premature to let down one's guard. He says healthcare workers, responders, and communities must remain vigilant.
The Ebola outbreak in DR Congo is not over, and we need to continue to work. There are lots of areas that are difficult to reach, that we have to go to, that we need to make sure that we get to all the contacts. So there are still contacts that have not been reached. So it is really too early to say that the outbreak is contained.
Jezarovic says good progress is being made in vaccinating people who have come in contact with infected individuals. He says a vaccination campaign in Imbandaka, a city of more than 1 million people, is now over, as all 577 known contacts of Ebola patients, healthcare workers, and other vulnerable people there have been inoculated against the disease. He says vaccinations are ongoing in the village of Bikoro, where Ebola was first detected, and in Iboko, a remote, difficult-to-reach area. Ebola has broken out 9 times in the DRC since the virus was discovered in that country in the 1970s. An outbreak in West Africa a few years ago left more than 11,000 people dead. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
On this World Environment Day, government and UN officials say South Sudan faces a number of environmental challenges. In a joint report by the UN and the government released today, water pollution, land degradation, and deforestation are just some of the problems identified in the report. Nabil Biagio has the details for VOA from Juba.
This year's global theme for World Environment Day is tackling the problem of plastic pollution. Josephine Napon, South Sudan's Minister of Environment and Forestry, says plastic pollution is a huge problem across South Sudan.
Plastic pollution has become the most visible environmental problem in our nation, especially in most of the urban areas across South Sudan. I am glad to report to you that Minister of Environment and Forestry has issued a ministerial order last year banning the use and importation of the plastic bags in the Republic of South Sudan.
Napon says the government will ensure the ban is implemented. She's urging citizens to use bags made of either paper or palm, locally known as guffas. Napon says piles of plastic water bottles in Juba and elsewhere are not only an eyesore, but hurt the environment in South Sudan. Heavily polluted water is another big problem in South Sudan. Napon says it is the result of inappropriate waste management and waste disposal, where waste is carried back to the river and other sources of drinking water. Gary Lewis, Director of Policy and Programs at the UN Environment Headquarters in Kenya, says the 330-page report released today outlines the country's biggest environmental problems.
The report that we're launching today will look at the challenges that we face here in South Sudan. So deforestation, land degradation, pollution of water, of air, of land, waste management, and the loss of wildlife.
Climate change and weather extremes also negatively impact South Sudanese food production, according to Lewis. Such weather extremes cause flooding in some parts of the country and severe droughts in other parts. David Shearer, the special representative of the UN Secretary General in South Sudan, says climate change also affects rain patterns, which leads to competition over resources by different communities.
The competition over the environment can produce conflict, and we know that. Some of the issues around Njongle, where it's about cattle and water and the competition over resources. It's about in the equatorias where you've got farmers with cattle keepers competing over the same land, and we need to be able to manage that.
Shira says the government must put in place a robust legal framework to govern land tenure and regulate land use by farmers and cattle herders in order to avoid clashes in the future. Speaking at today's event, South Sudan's first vice president, Taban Dengai, said pollution from oil spills in his hometown of former Unity State, as well as northern Upper Nile State, destroys the environment and causes health problems to cattle, fish, and human beings.
The pollution of the oil field is real. I come from the oil field myself, and actually my village is from the oil field. And very soon, that oil, we are running out of it. To clean that environment is going to be a problem to poor people of South Sudan.
Guy urged the United Nations to help the government reduce the country's pollution.
The government will fully support the recommendations presented in the report to manage and protect the environment.
Mr. Guy and other officials attending today's event wrapped up the day by planting trees along the street leading to Juba International Airport. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
As the planet marks World Environment Day, protesters in Kenya took to the streets to demand the government stop building a coal power plant in the country. For VOA, Mohamed Yusuf reports.
Dawn in skeleton costume signaling death, protesters chanted "No coal, it's poison," and march in the streets of Nairobi to demand the government halt construction of a coal plant in the town of Lamu. Khalid Hussein of Haki Africa is one of the protest organizers.
We want to send the message very clearly to the President of the Republic of Kenya that we say no to coal. Coal is poisonous. Coal kills. We cannot allow this project to proceed. For China, that is also supporting and funding this program, we're asking them to take this project to their country.
The coal power plant, which is estimated to cost $2 billion, is waiting for the green light from Kenya's Environmental Court. The plant will be constructed by a Chinese company, China Power Global. Kenyan officials insist the plant will help meet the country's growing demand for electric power. The country's environmental agency has accepted the plans, saying all environmental concerns were considered. Critics, however, believe such a project will pollute the environment and damage the marine ecosystem. Faisal Mohamed is a Lamu resident. He says President Uhuru Kenyatta should halt the project.
So we want him to realize that Lamu is a beautiful place. We have good beaches, good environment, and Lamu people are Kenyans like the rest, and they have the right to live in a good, clean environment.
The coastal town is designated as a UNESCO heritage site for houses that were built from coral stones and their carved wooden doors. Another protester said there are other ways to generate power and create jobs.
Sisi hatupingi mradi, twapinga sumu.
We are not against a project. We are against a project which is poisonous to us. We don't want a project that is going to affect us. If you care about us, we have a lot of fish. Build for us a factory.
So we are appealing to the committee on environment, please. You do everything.
Protesters ended their march at the parliament to submit their petition. Ali Waria, a member of parliament and a member of the environment committee, accepted the petition. We promise as a parliamentary committee we are going to look into this and take necessary action as your representatives. You do not have to worry. When the committee is meeting, you'll be invited to speak. Chinese companies have either developed or financed more than 200 coal-powered plants being built around the world, according to the Global Coal Tracker, an environmental activist group. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We leave you with the song Melanin with the group Sauti Sol featuring Pataranki.
When a good girl gone bad, what you gonna do? Run, go meet a dad. You don't wanna do. Where did this Sauti Sol? But the ranking world best. Yeah, watch this. Love confession.
What? She's a heartbreaker. She bend over backbreaker. Steaming hot water vapor. I wanna take her. She's a heartbreaker. She bend over backbreaker. Steaming hot water vapor. I wanna take her.
So tell me why you do me so. So tell me why you do me so. Spend all me cash. Call you me honey, but you threw me pon trash. And you think that me gon' leave you like that?
No way.
Why you do me like that, yeah? Girl, I'm waiting on you. Even if them hating on you. But me never send them.
Whoa. In my life, I've never seen melanin so dark. You're a queen of the dance floor. Night for your light when I rubbish in, baby. Would you put me in your diary? In my life, I've never seen melanin so dark. You're a queen of the dance floor. Nice socialite when I rubbish in, baby. Would you put me in your diary?
We've been listening to Sauti Sol featuring Pataran King with the song Melanin. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Thank you for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. Let us know how you like the show. You can find us on the web at southsudan@voanews.com or reach us on Facebook. Our title is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.